Blog Talk Radio.
We're coming to you live from Ticket Dress Lounge. How's everybody doing out there? We're still coming to you from two separate states, talking about a certain team known as...
Well, what's going on, everybody? The Primetime Prophets are back with the Bulls. That's the best intro you've ever had. That was perfect.
Yeah, no, I took the original intro that doesn't exist of the bit of Chris Farley, and then I like edited it, made it even crazier.
It was perfect. Absolutely perfect. Hey, send me a link to the show on AIM if you can, Greg, so I'm going to tweet it out. But, yeah, so a lot of things are happening right now. NFL free agency has been crazy. There's all sorts of moves, players moving around. It's almost more wild than the NBA free agency because there's a lot more big names, or the NBA trade deadline. It's a lot more big names on the move. But we'll start where we left off with Doppels. And Derrick Rose, he's a moron. Like, that guy's legitimately stupid. I think if he took an IQ test, it'd be very low. You take your time and you end up getting hurt. So just come back as soon as you can, because obviously you can't stay healthy no matter what. So just get back early so you can get hurt earlier, and then we can get over this whole thing.
Yeah, Rose is going back to just like 2012 all over again. He said, he's saying, you know, like, yeah, the estimation is 4 to 6 weeks, but I'm just going to judge by my body. Do you plan to come back? Yeah, I mean, probably. That's, you know, that's the plan, but we'll see. I have to have my body feel right. It's all God's plan. So here we go again.
I'll come back when my body tells me to come back. It's like, that's not how this works. It's when the doctors tell you to come back. I guarantee he'll while I don't honestly, like, at first I was thinking he's not going to come back I thought he was going to come back for playoffs. Now I'm thinking there's a chance that if there's a slight discomfort when he first starts, like, okay, you can go full-time and practice now, Rose. I think there's a chance we don't see Rose again this year. And I think there's a strong chance. Not that that's a bold prediction at all, but those comments to me made it seem like, oh, I don't care about basketball. I don't care about the team. There's always next year. There's always that. He can't stay healthy for more than 30 games in a row. Although now he'll probably stay more healthy than ever because they just took the meniscus out, but it's frustrating.
Yeah, I mean, like, listening to the whole thing, not out of context, like, I do have to say that, like, it does sound, you know, highly likely that he will, you know, actually come back this time. Like,
yeah.
It doesn't sound as extreme as it did in 2012, but it's still very possible if you know, his head isn't right, he's not going to come back.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if he comes back and if the first week of practice he has a bunch of knee soreness or he just doesn't feel right because he's a baby, he might not come back.
Yeah, also,
I have a feeling he's going to come back to him and Butler, and they're going to be good and go to the Eastern Conference Finals and lose to LeBron.
Also, too, I think a lot of it, too, is performance-wise, where to him, even though he might feel totally fine, if he doesn't feel like he can play to a certain level, he's not going to come back. Even though that ability would help the team a lot, he doesn't care. He's like, he's just more selfish and just wants to hold up an image of himself, of this, you know, great player that he's really not anymore anyways, but he wants to keep that illusion alive, and then if he's not, he'd rather sit out.
I just don't understand. I don't get this guy's mindset. Oh, and watch for callers, too, in case we actually get one, because I tweeted it out, and I doubt we're going to get anybody. But I just don't get it. Even if he's not, say he's 80%. He's 80% of himself, which is about what he's been all year, so that's fine. He has to come back because, naturally, they're not going to leave him wide open. He's always going to have that double team. He might not get trapped as much, but he's always going to have that double team coming over. He has to have the attention on the pick and rolls always, whether he sucks or not, at least for now, which that just makes Dunleavy open more. That makes Mirotic open more. It makes anybody who's a shooter more open. Or there could be mismatches with Powell on a small guy. Like, there's just – Rose has to be in the game, regardless whether he's great or not right now. I mean, Aaron Brooks, he's good. He's good in stretches, but he's not a true starting point guard. He's clutch as hell, as we saw tonight. He's a big-time player. But granted, there's also the 76ers. So But in the playoffs, he's not going to be the guy to get you there. You got to have Rose and Butler on the floor. Because, worst case, if Rose is there as a decoy, Butler will hit the shots. Butler will take off. And I think that's going to happen. I just don't get it. And then the whole season, it's like, oh, cool. You know, Derrick Rose is looking like Derrick Rose before the All-Star break. Then he gets hurt. Then the whole Thibodeau getting fired thing happens. And what happened to our Bulls?
Yeah, it's like, well, also, too, with the whole Jimmy Butler thing, like you said, well, or you tweeted out that Jimmy Butler, you know, is going to get back in MVP talks. That was just in regards to Jimmy Butler just played a lot better without Rose, mostly because they haven't played together hardly at all. And when Rose was out all of 20, I guess it was 14, that was when, you know, it was the Joakim Noah takeover, and Jimmy would cut into the basket, and Joe would just, you know, throw his perfect bounce passes playing point center, and that's how they survived. And well, he started taking over.
I think they should run the point center offense with Mirotić, because my prediction that I've been talking about.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of Mirotić, yeah, last show you were the one who was saying Mirotić is coming, the titch is rising, and that was when he was in a huge struggle, and now look at him.
I never got worried. Like, when he started strong and he got hot on and off. Like, honestly, he's not shooting threes very very well consistently right now. That's also adjusting to the American game. He's slowly, like his.
Well, yeah, but that's nothing. I mean, like,
that's the season.
I mean, like, back when he made that prediction, that was when, like, his three-point shot was, like, 11% for that stretch. Oh. He was, like, at the absolute bottom of his slump, and you're saying, yeah, well, the titch is rising, he's coming, and then like, right after that show, instantly, then he's getting, like, 30 points a game.
Because he's going to be the next great European. I remember I talked about it years ago.
It is on these shows. You talk about. I put up Mirotić.
I was like, man, when Mirotić
back in 2012.
Yeah, when we were with Curtis.
Yeah, and you can go back to 2012 show. I was talking about Mirotić. That combined me talking about J.J. Watt back in like 2007.
Well,
like, those are the two best predictions.
All the predictions in general on this show, like with Curtis, all in one show. You had the Tony.
Oh yeah, Curtis too. Yep.
The Butler prediction and my Mirotić prediction. All of us are right for the most part, and. Your J.J. Watt prediction. We both, you know, it's just the best thing ever. Because we're the primetime prophets. But, no, Mirotić, you're right. He was struggling. I'm like, the Mirotić is rising. That pitch is coming. And he took over, and he started scoring all the points in the fourth quarter. He's shooting better. His three will definitely improve with time. I'm not too worried about that. He's also, he shoots better when he's covered. Like, if he should just pump fake until he's covered and then fade away. Like, honestly, yeah.
That shot is sick. I mean, if he can perfect that, then if he starts doing that more where he'll step back and then do, like, his weird fade away, but he's so tall and big it doesn't matter. Like, right in the guy's face, you can't guard that.
It's the truth. I mean, look at Dirk. Dirk's made a whole entire career out of fading away.
Oh yeah, that yeah, with the knee up, the classic Dirk shot. But Mirotić is just like a leaning back, like,
yeah,
3-point shot with a step back, and he does that move like you don't need it. Like, those are one of the moves where you don't need any agility either. So that's a good sign for when he ages that he's still gonna be really good with that shot. And he's so smart too. Like, as a rookie, like, this has to be. I almost want to say, I think I will say, this is the smartest NBA rookie of all time, most veteran-like playing rookie of all time, because the way he's drawing fouls and he'll pump fake and do, like, the Paul Pierce shots, and he's just really smart and crafty.
He passes well for the most part. Occasionally he'll get in trouble, but overall, he's an accurate passer. He's not Joe or Powell, but he's definitely good. And he gets, like you said, he gets the line. He's tied with James Harden. He was tied with James Harden, and James Harden plays way more minutes.
Yeah, he was. Occasionally, you'll see like his inner Kukoc come out, and then he'll start doing some nice passing too. And defensively, he keeps getting better and everything. And he's pretty smart defensively already right off the bat.
Hey, put it this way: he wouldn't be out there if he wasn't good defensively.
Yeah, I know. That's the only thing that's keeping him alive.
Or like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, but if you can't, you know, if you can't play defense, Thibodeau's not going to play him. It's the bottom line.
I mean, and really, this team's roster, like, this team, it's totally stacked. Like just looking at this, like, literally everyone but Bear Style, like, every single guy is legitimately really good. So that's 13 out of your 14 guys. I mean, just to name off, Aaron Brooks, Jimmy Butler, Dunleavy, Powell, Taj Gibson. Well, Taj is for questioning, but at least he's legitimately really talented. Well, Kirk is in question, too, but at least he, you know, He's just the most annoying NBA player of all time.
I hate when he makes shots that I'm like, oh, why are you taking the shot, Kirk? And he like hits a weird fadeaway three.
Yeah, no, so annoying.
Like, oh, I hate you.
and then Doug McDermott is gonna be really big. Mirotić, obviously, and Nazir Muhammad, who had like a great game, like a few, or just like this latest stretch. He's been playing really good again. Etuan Moore has been taking over. His offensive ability is amazing. And then yeah. Joakim, obviously, Rose, and Tony Snell, again, another guy who's coming up out of nowhere. So this team is definitely the most stacked team. Like I was saying before, how you know the Thunder had the most talented or most depth, but now seeing the more of this roster and seeing you know when McDermott gets comfortable, how good he can be, and Tony Snell's you know arrival and all these other guys, this is definitely the best roster for sure.
Yeah, this team is really – it just has to stay healthy. That's the main problem. If the Bulls – if Derrick Rose didn't get hurt and Butler didn't get hurt and Joe – well, Joe's been looking like more like Joakim Noah now of the past. We don't even need Taj Gibson. He can –
Yeah, honestly, that's another thing because this team is better without Taj because without Taj, that's how Mirotić – that's – actually, Mirotić took over the moment Taj got hurt. Like, that's what caused that to happen. That and then McDermott filling in his minutes, and then it's actually worked out better. We just, you know, missed Derrick Rose and Jimmy Butler, but with Taj out, that doesn't really hurt anything, and Powell gets more minutes too then.
Yeah, and Taj just, he gets into the paint, and he just dribbles around and dribbles hard and tries to dunk on people, but he doesn't dunk on anyone.
Yeah, that's why they call him the black hole, because he's like, put the ball in and it's gone. That's it, you're never getting back.
Done. He's that's the end of him. Mirotić would be like looking at him like, hey, pass in the ball, I'm wide open, and Taj will just he drives into three.
Like 20 guys are around him swatting at the ball, and then he still like jacks up the shot or loses it, and then he whines all the way up and down the court.
I hate him. Like he should go. If he went to Cleveland, I'd be happy because he'd be on the most annoying team in the league.
Yeah, I know.
God, but yeah, Mirotić stepped up immediately upon Taj's departure, and I hope he doesn't come back this season. Like I hope he has, a setback.
Yeah, with this whole team like staying healthy thing, like honestly, I'd rather say like this team staying healthy isn't as important as like this team actually like practicing and being good, because like this team probably will be healthy going to playoffs, but then I'm gonna say now this team has no shot at winning the finals. Like they're not gonna get past. That like at best they'll make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. That's it. Like they'll probably, if I had to guess, they'll probably make it out of the first round and then lose in the second. Or if they get hot, they'll lose in the third. But it's like the chemistry is so bad, and that's the most obvious sign of not practicing with each other. And that because they don't know that like nobody knows each other. Like nobody knows each other's tendencies. Like they know the teams that they play more than they know each other. Like on offense they'll have the ball and then like some guy cuts in and then he passes it right before he cuts in and then throwing the ball out of bounds because nobody knows where they just don't know each other at all and they're not allowed to because they can't practice together. It's can you compare this because probably the end result the 2014 team might even go further and that roster was horrible. That was like Nazir Muhammad, Carlos Boozer, Dang, and then I think Butler was hurt too. I know Noah was hurt. Oh, yeah, it was DJ Augustine and, like, some other, like, and Kirk Heinrich or something. Like, that roster was horrible, but we won even one more games. We're probably going to go further in the playoffs, and this roster blows it away. Same as 2011. Like, you take Boozer for Powell. It's a huge upgrade. Like, we should be dominating the NBA. Like, we should have had 60 wins this year.
And Mirotić for Dang and Bam and Butler and Snell like on that team.
Yeah, but and like you said the other show Butler for Ronnie Brewer, that's like the biggest upgrade ever.
Yeah, big time. I mean Butler is one of the only guys in the league that can actually guard LeBron and play very well against him consistently.
Yeah, and then you have these guys who didn't have it all. It's like you trade Keith Bogans for like Mike Dunleavy or Keith Bogans for like McBuckets. Like that's a major upgrade and then trade TJ Watson for Aaron Brooks, another major upgrade loss. And like
Watson.
And like Etuan Moore for like I don't even know, there's anybody even left on that roster. They all just suck.
I'm trying to think who else was on the back end of that roster. Is that the John Lucas year?
No, I'm talking about the 2011 team. This team should pull it out of the water.
Right, we got too many random like small point guards that get pulled out of nowhere.
Yeah.
But, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if this team loses in the first round. Like, it's either going to lose in the first round or they're going to go lose to LeBron in the Eastern Conference Finals. And honestly, there about Mirotić and about Kevin Love when I said LeBron in Cleveland, There was a rumor that the Bulls, back when Kevin Love was getting traded, that they were going to offer Mirotić and Taj and a couple picks for Kevin Love. In retrospect, which I was against the trade at the time completely because I was waiting for Mirotić. Taj, he could go. I'm not worried about that. But Mirotić, I was excited for. Kevin Love, he's a good player, but honestly, Mirotić is pretty much just as good.
He has more potential for sure.
He's way better than Kevin Love because he plays a better defense. He's a smarter player.
He's just better overall because he has like more of a game rather than Kevin Love. Like, what does he really do other than shoot?
I mean, he can rebound sometimes, but
yeah, it's like Mirotić. So it's like there's just so much more upside.
And Kevin Love seems like he's kind of not a head case, but it seems like if his feelings aren't right, he doesn't play good. Like, I feel like he doesn't feel like he fits in. Now, he's going to go to L.A. in the offseason. I'm confident in that. I feel like he doesn't kind of fit in out there in Cleveland. And honestly, looking at his three-point percentage this year, Mirotić is playing better basketball with less minutes. He's only shooting 36%. Mirotić is shooting 32, but he's shooting 50% over the last two games, and he's starting to come back into his groove. Kevin Love's good, but he's not as good. And Mirotić is a smarter player. I think he's a better ball handler. He'll have as good of a shot in time for Kevin Love's overall. Well, actually, Kevin Love's career, I think that's what might be with Cleveland. I don't know. It says his career three-point percentage is less than 40%. So that's actually, like, garbage.
Yeah, but if you take a ton of shots, because Steph Curry's this year is, like, 41, barely, like, it's just over 40. But, I mean, and then even, like, Sean Kemp shot 42% in 1996, so it kind of depends.
Yeah. I don't know. But overall, that potential trade with Mirotić and Taj, I'm so glad that didn't happen because Kevin Love wouldn't have re-signed with the Bulls, and the Bulls would have been out a future superstar in Mirotić. Someone was asking me, how good do you think Mirotić can be? And I'm like, I don't really think there's a limit. I think the ceiling is just the next great European. I think he could be a better Tony Kukoc because I think he has a little more to his game. Although Kukoc was a little more athletic.
Yeah, he was quicker because that's the other thing with Mirotić is he's kind of a little sloppier. But it is what it is. But he is a better overall player though because
Kukoc was quicker, but I think Mirotić would be crafty like Dirk, but not quite in that way, if that makes any sense. Like, all the guys like Mirotić are usually, like Ginobili's a real crafty player. He's also very quick, but Kukoc was smooth, and he was quick. Mirotić is not smooth at all. You're right, he's sloppy.
But, yeah, going back to his team's potential and Tom Thibodeau.
Mirotić, that's it, all night.
But yeah, it's like honestly with this whole Tom Thibodeau thing, it's just getting more and more obvious that this was like I don't even know if this was set up from the start because that's what it seems like. It seems like there's just a whole setup to try and sabotage Thibs and make him look as bad as possible. Because you start off the off season by firing his best assistant, that's the guy who's been with him this entire time, and then they only fired him because I guess he was talking back to Garpax, and that's the only reason that they let him go. So. So basically, I'm just saying we just let him go because we don't like him. That's all that really means. And then, that's a start off. And then Derrick Rose a really dumb knee surgery. So it's like you're just setting him up to get injured again. And then they totally, basically just shut down practice. So then it's like, okay, you guys aren't practicing. You can only play in games. And then when you play in games, you can only play like a couple minutes a game. So nobody knows how to do anything. Nobody knows each other. Nobody knows any plays. Like, they can't do anything at all. So then it's like, yeah, then basically you're just setting up Thibs to look like you have this really talented roster who's really disorganized, but that's because he can't organize it.
He's
not allowed to organize it. It's like defense, this not allowed to be good. It can only be talented and have potential, but never reach it.
And in defense and basketball, it's all about continuity with each other. And I don't see
and offense too. Chemistry is everything.
Well, in basketball, I mean, the continuity in anything is very important, but I feel like basketball and hockey more so than anything. And you really, I guess it's sort of every sport, though, that you think about it. quarterbacks and receivers really need that timing as well. But defense, you got the switches, pick and roll, you got to know what you're doing. Like tonight, if you look, there was a play, I know you didn't watch the game, there was a play where they did a pick and roll, and it just, or did they, yeah, the defense switched, 76ers switched when Mirotić set a pick, and then Brooks didn't roll. But Mirotić was on like a guy who's like 6'4", and I mean, Mirotić is 6'10", he's way bigger than that guy. And Dunleavy in the corner didn't clear out. Like, that should be natural instinct to clear out to the other side to give Mirotić this chance to just destroy this guy. Because Mirotić has a crazy spin move. I think he learned it from Powell or something, because I didn't know he had that in this game. Powell has a great spin move, too. I think Powell and Mirotić is the best combination that's ever going to happen for his career.
Oh, yeah, and those guys work together all the time. So, I mean, like Powell took Mirotić under his wing from the start.
That's probably why he came here, I think. Partially.
Cool.
He also had another fellow European that's talking Spanish with.
Yeah, that's another thing, too. Aren't they both from Spain, even?
No, Mirotić is from Serbia.
Yeah, it's like all the same. You're European, it's all the same thing. It's just Italy and everything else that's not quite as good. That's Europe and
Russia.
Yeah.
But, yeah, about that play with Dunleavy not clearing out, that's kind of just like, you know, Thibodeau would stop practice at that point and be like, what are you doing? Ice! You know, or whatever. He'd yell at me. I would hate to be at this practice because I'd be scared shitless. I'd be wearing Depends. But it's a shame. You're right. That's what they're missing. You called a long time ago and no one's still talking about it. They have to practice. But if you ask Bors and Bernstein, they would tell you it doesn't matter.
Well, no. I mean, Bors and Bernstein have just completely lost it, or they're clearly in on it too. Because how do you give Scott Brooks a pass this year because of injuries? But then it's like, why is Scott Brooks not blamed for the injuries, and Thibodeau's blamed for these injuries? And then second, why does he get a pass if they're not his fault? Like, why are those injuries not his fault? And then if they're not his fault, why does he get a pass? Like Tom Thibodeau didn't get a pass for injuries in 2014. He brought his team. I mean, even look at 2012 without Derrick Rose. Like, that roster was pretty bad. Like, there's nobody else, and they still won. What was it? They had the highest winning percentage in the NBA, and he had nobody. It was just C.J. Watson and coach defense. That's it. Coach defense with bad Boozer. That's all it was.
Yeah, pretty much. Boozer was their best scorer, and he actually played pretty good without Rose because he could just jack up a million shots. I don't get it. You know, I mean, does it sound like a conspiracy theory? Not really, if you think about it. But
well, no, because even
helicopters around the United Center.
Well, no, because Jeff Van Gundy like called it out from the
club.
They've been doing that forever. So it's like, I mean, it's a pretty well known thing. And Jeff Gundy is a way higher up media guy than Mogul Chicago. And basically, all he's doing, like all Bors and Bernstein are doing, is just proving Jeff Van Gundy's point. Like he's saying, yeah, the media is in his pocket. They're just here to sabotage and undermine Thibodeau, and then they're just going to defend him. And then it's like, so what do? They do exactly what Jeff Van Gundy said they were going to do. So it's like, it's pretty obvious that's what the case is. They just can't admit it, obviously, because they're the ones who are, you know, in his back pocket. So I don't know what that means, like if they're getting paid off or if, like, probably the way I pictured it is if you go along, like if you were Garpax, you basically say if you go along with what we tell you to say, then we'll give you, you know, the inside information the soonest or something, because that's like an indirect exchange for money, because, you know, if you get the information the soonest, then you're going to get more views, obviously, as a media station, that's my guess. But obviously there's something going on.
Well, if you look, the Score is a White Sox station. Like that, you know, the White Sox, they host all the games. Who owns the White Sox? Reinsdorf. Who owns the Bulls? Reinsdorf. It all goes hand in hand. Like everyone will say, oh, that's not the case. But it is the case. Like they fund that station, guaranteed.
Yeah, and I mean, even still, it's like, it's, if you look outside the Chicago, well, it's not even Chicago. It's really just the Score. Like, even ESPN 1000 isn't doing all that crap. And ESPN 1000, you know, runs by the Bulls. But at least, you know, ESPN itself isn't owned by the Bulls, just that one station.
Yeah.
But still, it's like, if you look outside of that and, like, you know, Sun Times, but that's all the same crap. It's like, if you look outside of that, and everybody else is calling the Bulls completely insane. It's only this, like, really tiny, like, basically, it just makes it even more obvious that Garpax control that small fraction of media, and they say this, and everybody else calls him totally insane because everybody else, you know, obviously can see the picture, and then this is like their like tiny little market of like propaganda that doesn't really work.
Well, it's the only guy on the score that's really been an advocate for why you know getting you're crazy if you're getting rid of Tom Thibodeau has been Jason Goff, and where did he come from? He came from out of town, like he's back now, but he got away from that whole world for a while, and he's someone who actually knows basketball.
Yeah.
You know, if you get rid of Thibodeau, this team, honestly, all kidding aside, it'll probably be good. It's still if say Rose came back and was healthy, say he's not the great player he was, but he's a step below. He's still a star, but he's not a superstar. And Mirotić becomes great, like I think he's going to be. You still have a really good team, and I think a good coach could still win a championship. But you don't have.
But it's like honestly, at this point, it doesn't matter who's coaching. If you like the coach doesn't like if you don't practice or like do anything, then the coach doesn't matter. Then it's literally the same as just having like you might as well have a computer generated minutes machine and then just have the players like coach them just play by themselves and then just have like. Then that's it. The coach isn't even there. But before the show ends quick, I was just going to say with the whole Rose thing, like this knee surgery actually is so minor that it's really not even 4 to 6 weeks. It's really like 2 to 3 weeks. Like the only thing that matters with that is like the comparison was it's like taking, you know, a pebble out of your shoe and that once the surgery is done, like as long as, you know, once the swelling goes down, the wound heals and you get your range of motion back, it's immediately better than ever. So really, Rose should be back right away. Like this is like taking like a sliver out of your finger. Like you should be back by like tomorrow.
He should be practicing this week.
Yeah. So that'll be a thing to watch for is how back he gets, how soon he gets back.
We'll go to part 2 because we're gonna be switching there.
Yeah. Then we'll probably talk more about Bears in part 2.
All right. Let's get part 2.